Luke chapter 8, starting in verse 1. Soon afterwards he, that is Joshua, began going around from one city and village to another, proclaiming and preaching the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and sicknesses. Mary, who was called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons, or bad angels, had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who were contributing to their support out of their private means. Commentary note 13. Women played an important role in Joshua's mission and are here shown supporting him and his 12 sent ones, or apostles, as they traveled around proclaiming the kingdom of God. Women are equally valuable to men, but they do have different natures and thus different roles to play and different talents and attributes. For example, there is no good substitute for the role of a mother. That is, a woman who has had children and who loves and values those children above all other things in this world, and who thus nurtures and raises those children instead of giving them to others to raise while she goes and works for money. And yes, dads are equally important to the proper raising of the children. Resuming in verse 4. When a large crowd was coming together and those from the various cities were journeying to him, he spoke by the way of a parable. The sower or planter went out to sow or plant his seed, and as he sowed, some fell beside the road, and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. Others fell on rocky soil, and as soon as it grew up, it withered away, because it had no moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it out. Other seed fell into the good soil and grew up and produced a crop 100 times as great. And as he said these things, he would call out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." His disciples began questioning him as to what this parable meant. And he said, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to the rest it is in parables, so that, quote, seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand," unquote. Commentary note 14. Here Joshua tells the disciples why he speaks in parables, simple stories with hidden meanings. He does this so that those who are open to his kingdom, humble in heart, seeing their need, will hear and understand, but those who are against him, proud, not seeing their need, will not understand. Resuming in text, verse 11. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God, or the truths of the God's kingdom, as spoken by Joshua. Those beside the road are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart, so that they will not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky soil are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no firm root. They believe for a while, and in a time of temptation or testing, they fall away. The seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart, and hold it fast and bear fruit through difficult times. Now, no one, after lighting a lamp, covers it over with a container or puts it under a bed, but rather he puts it on a table, so that those who come in may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not become evident, nor anything secret that will not be known and come to light. So take care how you listen, for whoever has, to him more shall be given, and whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, shall be taken away from him. And Joshua's mother and brothers came to him, and they were unable to get to him because of the crowd. And it was reported to him, "Hey, your mother and your brothers are standing outside wishing to see you." Commentary note 15. This is yet another passage that shows that Mary, Joshua's earthly mom, had children after she gave birth to Joshua, thus contradicting the Roman tradition. Returning to text, verse 21. But Joshua answered and said to them, "My mother and my brothers are these who hear the word of God and do it." Commentary note 16. One of several sayings of Joshua that lay out the new order of who is really a disciple's family. due largely to the Christian organization churches providing a shallow social club as a substitute for actual love and family, most ignore this and remain with their natural family or their, quote, church family, unquote, a mere shallow organization, refusing to truly love those who Joshua defines as their mother, brothers, and sisters. Returning to text, verse 22. Now, on one of those days, Joshua and his disciples got into a boat, and he said to them, "Let us go over to the other side of the lake." So they launched out. But as they were sailing along, he fell asleep, and a fierce gale of wind descended on the lake, and their boat began to be filled with water and to be in danger. They came to Joshua and woke him up, saying, "Master, Master, we're dying." And he got up and rebuked the wind and the surging waves, and they stopped, and it became calm. And he said to them, "Where is your faith?" They were fearful and amazed, saying to one another, "Who then is this, that he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him?" Then they sailed to the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. And when he came unto the land, he was met by a man from the city who was possessed with demons, bad angels, and who had not put on any clothing for a long time and was not living in a house but in the tombs. Seeing Joshua, he cried out and fell before him and said in a loud voice, "What business do we have with each other, Joshua, son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For it had seized him many times, and he was bound with chains and shackles and kept under guard, and yet he would break his chains and be driven by the demon into the desert. And Joshua answered him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. And they were imploring him not to command them to go away into the abyss. Now there was a herd of many swine or pigs feeding there on the mountain, and the demons implored Joshua to permit them to enter the swine, and he gave them permission. And the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the herdsmen saw what had happened, they ran away and reported it in the city out in the country. The people went out to see what had happened, and they came to Joshua and found the man from whom the demons had gone out sitting down at the feet of Joshua, clothed and in his right mind, and they became frightened. Those who had seen it reported to them how the man who was demon-possessed had been made well, and all the people of the country of the Gerasenes and the surrounding area asked Joshua to leave them, for they were gripped with great fear, and he got into a boat and returned. But the man from whom the demons had gone out was begging Joshua that he might accompany him, but he sent him away, saying, "Return to your house and describe what great things God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the whole city what great things God, through Joshua, had done for him. And as Joshua returned, the people welcomed him, for they had all been waiting for him. And there came a man named Jairus, and he was an official of the religious organization, and he fell at Joshua's feet and began to implore him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter, about 12 years old, and she was very sick. But as he went, the crowds were pressing against him, and a woman who had a hemorrhage or bleeding condition for 12 years and could not be healed by anyone came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak, and immediately her hemorrhage or bleeding stopped. And Joshua said, "Who is the one who touched me?" And while they were all denying it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing in on you." But Joshua said, "Someone did touch me, for I was aware that power had gone out of me." When the woman saw that she had not escaped notice, she came trembling and fell down before him and declared in the presence of all the people the reason why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." While he was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the religious official, saying, "Your daughter has died. Do not trouble the teacher anymore." But when Joshua heard this, he said to Jairus, "Do not be afraid any longer. Only believe, and she will be made well." When he came to the house, He did not allow anyone to enter with him except Peter and John and James and the girl's father and mother. Now, they were all weeping and lamenting for her, but he said, "Stop weeping, for she has not died, but is asleep." And they began laughing at him, knowing that she had died. Joshua, however, went into her room and took her by the hand and said, "Child, arise." And her spirit returned, and she got up immediately, and he gave orders for something to be given her to eat. Her parents were amazed, but he instructed them to tell no one what had happened. End of chapter 8. Chapter 9. And he called the 12, or sent ones, together, and gave them power and authority over all demons and to heal diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to perform healing. And he said to them, "Take nothing for your journey, neither a staff or walking stick, nor a bag, nor bread, nor money, and do not even have 2 coats apiece. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that city. And as for those who do not receive you, as you go out from that city, shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them." Departing, they began going throughout the villages, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Now Herod, the Roman ruler, heard of all that was happening, and he was greatly perplexed, because it was said by some that John the Baptist had risen from the dead, and by some that Elijah had appeared, and by others that one of the prophets of old had risen again. Herod said, "I myself had John's head cut off, but who is this man about whom I hear such things?" And he kept trying to see him. When the 12 returned, they gave an account to him of all that they had done. Talking with them, he withdrew by himself to a city called Bethsaida. But the crowds were aware of this and followed him, and welcoming him, he began speaking to them about the kingdom of God and curing those who had been in need of healing. Now the day was ending, and the 12 came and said, "Send the crowd away, that they may go into the surrounding villages and countryside and find lodging and get something to eat, for here we are in a desolate or remote place." But Joshua said to them, "You give them something to eat." And they said, "We have no more than 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, unless perhaps we go and buy food for all these people." For there were about 5,000 men. And he said to his disciples, "Have them sit down to eat in groups of about 50 each." They did so and had them all sit down. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them and broke them and kept giving them to the disciples to set before the people. And they all ate and were satisfied, and the broken pieces which they had left over were picked up, 12 baskets full. And it happened that while he was praying alone, the disciples were nearby, and he questioned them, saying, "Who do the people say that I am?" They answered and said, "John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, but others that one of the prophets of old has risen again." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered and said, "The Messiah of God." But he warned them and instructed them not to tell this to anyone, saying, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the political and religious leaders and legal experts, and be killed and raised up on the 3rd day. And he was saying to them all, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life in the world will lose it, but whoever loses his life in the world for my sake, he is the one who will save it into eternal life. For what has a man profit if he gains the whole world, all the wealth and power the world offers, and yet loses or forfeits himself, or his soul is destroyed? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels." Commentary note 17. If we are not ashamed of his person and his words, then we will be proclaiming and speaking his message, words, and teachings to others. This act is driven by love and truth, and all true disciples will speak the Master's words to others. End of note. Picking back up in verse 27. "But I say to you truthfully, there are some of those standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God." some 8 days after these sayings, he took along Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face became different, and his clothing became white and gleaming. And behold, two men were talking with him. They were Moses and Elijah, who, appearing in glory, were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions had been overcome with sleep, but when they were finally or fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. And as these were leaving him, Peter said to Joshua, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles or shelters, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah," not realizing what he was saying. While he was saying this, a cloud formed and began to overshadow them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. Then a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him." Commentary note 18. Sadly, very few listen to the Father's command here and instead will listen to just about anyone other than Joshua. Bible writers, their religious leaders, authors, speakers, anyone but the light. See John 3:19 for the reason why. Returning to text, verse 36. And when the voice had spoken, Joshua was found alone. And they kept silent and reported to no one in those days any of the things which they had seen. On the next day, they came down from the mountain. A large crowd met him. And a man from the crowd shouted, saying, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son, for he is my only boy." And a spirit seizes him, and he suddenly screams, and it throws him into a convulsion with foaming at the mouth, and only with difficulty does it leave him, injuring him as it leaves. "I begged your disciples to cast it out, and they could not." And Joshua answered and said, "You unbelieving and perverted generation, how long shall I be with you and put up with you? Bring your son here." While he was still approaching, the demon slammed him to the ground and threw him into a convulsion. But Joshua rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the boy and gave him back to his father. And they were all amazed at the greatness of God. But while everyone was marveling at all that he was doing, he said to his disciples, "Let these words sink into your ears, for the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of sinful men." But they did not understand this statement, and it was concealed from them due to their misunderstandings of Messiah's role during his first visit, so that they would not perceive it, and they were afraid to ask him about this statement. Commentary note 19. The first disciples did not understand Joshua's mission because of the false beliefs they held about Messiah. Which false beliefs came from the Jewish scripture, which tells of a Messiah that is a conquering king, destroying Israel's enemies by force? Instead, he was and is the rescuer and giver of life. Therefore, it is reasonable to listen only to Joshua himself to understand Joshua perfectly, instead of listening to those who misunderstood him or who prophesied, really invented or made up, what they wanted in a leader. End of commentary note. Returning to text, verse 46. An argument started among them as to which of them might be the greatest. But Joshua, knowing what they were thinking in his heart, took a child and stood him by his side, and said to them, "Whoever receives this child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. For the one who is least among all of you, this is the one who is great." John answered and said, "Master, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to prevent him because he does not follow along with us." But Joshua said to him, "Do not hinder him, for he who is not against you is for you." Commentary note 20. This saying should eliminate all competitiveness or envy among disciples, for competitiveness or envy is the manifestation of a heart of pride, which destroys love and unity. See John 17. Returning to text, verse 51. When the days were approaching for his ascension, that is Joshua returning to his father, he was determined to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers on ahead of him, and they went and entered a village of the Samaritans to make arrangements for him. But they did not receive him because he was traveling toward Jerusalem. When the disciples John and James saw this, They said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But Joshua turned and rebuked them and said, "You do not know what kind of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." And they went on to another village. Commentary note 21. Joshua's heart spirit does not change, for he reflects his father who does not change. Therefore, this saying will always be true of Joshua, that he does not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Contrast this truth with the spirit expressed in the book of Revelation, which falsely attributes to Joshua the spirit of vengeance and destruction. The book of Revelation presents a different Jesus than what is presented in these gospel books. End of commentary note, returning to text, verse 57. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Joshua said to him, "The foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Commentary note 22. A rebuke to all the religious leaders and false prophets who say God wants people to be materially wealthy. If the king's father wanted people to be materially wealthy, then surely that would include his son, the appointed king. And yet this king had no material things to his name, no material wealth. Rather, his treasure is in his subjects, we who love our king back and seek to be like him. End of commentary note, returning to text, verse 59. And he said to another, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father." But he said to him, "Allow the spiritually dead to bury their own physically dead. But as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God." And another also said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first permit me to say goodbye to those at home." But Joshua said to him, "No one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." End of chapter 9.